and the side effects.
You get a defender batch, or?
You know, well, I'm not sure that was so deep.
The two that the girls had, they were in the same cage, and then one died. If Great Lakes could have gotten you one, they said, well, let's put this one in this own cage to shut it this one.
So maybe they had something.
So we thought, okay, whatever, so we clean everything out, and now they said, the one that replaced the first one died. Like, I tested the case last night.
You're moving in?
It looked like he was having a seizure. I was like, what is wrong with that thing? But I would think, they're like, no, it's a pastor, no, it's a person, even, they said, it's okay.
Oh, man.
Three hamsters and two fish have died since Christmas. So I think they're trying to tell.
So, okay, what are they, I know when you have a green thumb if your plants do well. Is that, you got a black one if it does? What about animals? Maybe it's in the something in the water, huh? So you guys wouldn't be the one that, that commercial where the guy's driving along with his fishbowl on the roof. He'd never make it home. Okay. Oh, okay. I just saw it sitting there, and I thought, oh, I didn't know. Okay. Is everything all right? Okay. Okay, so
everybody get one of the sheets coming in. Prayer sheets.
I did that.
And
nope, I didn't get one.
You didn't get one? You get one?
Since we're talking about fear tonight, I come across this little list, 33 verses about fear and anxiety, okay? So that's more than a verse a day. So maybe you just want to number them 1 to 30 or whatever, and then you'll have one a day. And some of them you might want to memorize, or you know, some of them is a passage, like that Psalm 91, 1 to 16. You know, maybe you don't want to memorize that one yet. But anyway, I thought it might be some help to you. Okay, and we'll get to prayer items here in a little while. Unless I forget later on, I did get a call from Karen to check in. Remember how she told you it was not to be too jealous because it was kind of chilly out there? Well, apparently that's all went away. It was sunny and 72 today. So she's enjoying it, getting out, get a little exercise. So, all right, good enough. Okay, so we're looking at Journey into Defeating Discouragement and Foiling Fear. Foiling Fear, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for opportunity to look at your word. We thank you that your word tells us many times over that we don't need to fear, and yet we do. We pray that you'd continue to encourage our hearts, help us to trust you as we ought. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, here it is. I looked this up, but I didn't want to make sure I'm giving you the straight scoop here. Got a little Bible program on this thing. A little slow, but okay. I punched this in just for fun of it. Here, fear not. Hey, I was right. 170 times the Lord tells us, fear not. Why does he have to tell us 170 times? Yeah, because we keep on fearing something, right? And so what kind of things do what do people fear? Doesn't have to be your fears, but, you know, the other guy that's not here. Well, what do people fear? Pandemic. Pardon? Pandemic. Pandemic. yeah, okay. I mean, it's something new, kind of, sort of. All right? Is that the only thing that's out there? What else? The unknown. We knew 2020. We didn't like it. 21's, it's unknown. Big question mark. What's will happen? Don't know. Guess we'll hang in there and find out, right? There's a couple sheets back there if you didn't get one, John. What else?
I'm a little afraid to tell you, but I'm afraid of our government.
Afraid of our government. Okay, for those who can't hear all the way back there. Yeah. That is 50 times 50 states times Washington. There's at least 51 fears there. So, and who knows if there'll be more states before we're done. Oh, that's 53. Okay. There are lots of different things people fear, you know. And if it was only just two or three, some of the doctors out there wouldn't have a job because they're dealing with people with all kinds of phobias and stuff. So, and if you got it, you know, it's a very real thing. So, anyway, well, this will not answer every concern that you have about fears because it's only dealing with this one specific passage, all right? There's, like I said, there's 170 different verses that it refers to fear not, okay? So there's a whole lot more than what we'll be just looking at here tonight and, Lord willing, next time. But you know, sometimes I talk about the devil's tool bag. He's got various tools in there. Like when John comes to work day, he brings his tool bag or bucket or whatever, and there's all kinds of stuff in there. Hammers and saws and drills and what have you. You know, and different ones for different things. Well, the devil, he's got a tool bag too. Fear's one of them. Discouragement's another one. You know, and we could probably list a few more. And why does he keep using the same ones over and over? they work. All right? You know, and we don't always see it coming. You know, sometimes we're surprised by it, you know, and yet it's something that we've faced maybe in a little bit different circumstances before, but this is one of the devil's effective weapons, and he uses it a lot, and that's why the Lord's had to tell us 170 times, don't fear, because the devil's whispering in the other ear saying, you know, don't trust God, or, you know, whatever he's telling you, cause you to fear. And he'll use all kinds of people in situations, circumstances, to cause you to become fearful. And so he wants to, what happened? Okay, why is fear kind of an effective weapon against us? What happens when we become fearful? What happens to us?
We become paralyzed.
Yeah, yeah. We're kind of stopped in our tracks. You had something there to add?
I said lost.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we just, you know, it's kind of like, you know, and if he can get the Christians to kind of go hit the pause button, and he can keep us that way there for a while, that's about as good as he can do. Again, he can't take away our salvation, but if he can shift us into neutral so we're not moving ahead, we're not moving forward, we're not learning, growing, maturing, witnessing, anything else, that's about the best he can do. And so he's going to keep on using it. And if it's kind of like fish bait, you know, if you're using different plugs or lures or whatever, you know, you're throwing that yellow one in and nothing's happening. You pull it off, stick a red one on there. Let's try a different color or whatever. And he tries different ones because different fish will bite on different colors depending on the light and what kind of fish. And same thing. It's like, we don't all like the same foods, right? We'll have a potluck, Lord willing, on Sunday. And everybody won't just devour one pot and let everything else set. Now, we tend to kind of take a little bit of everything, right? And if it's something we really like, maybe we'll go back for that second dish or whatever. Well, the thing is, he's wants to keep us afraid one way or another. And, okay, do I bring this? Well, maybe I won't. trying to stay off the... Well, that's not politics, is it? Okay, did any of you listen the other night to Crosstalk, Gary Kaw? All right, and what did he... And I'm not saying he's got all the answers and everything he said will happen just exactly like he said he did. But he seemed to know what he's talking about. And he's saying, you know, that part of it is this control thing with this pandemic. And we got this thing and we got people staying in line, you know. And then if that starts to fade out, we got the, what comes next? The second wave. And if that doesn't do it, we got the third wave and the fourth wave. There's, folks, there's always going to be something out there to make you afraid. Might as well just count on it, all right? Because they know it works. They pulled stuff on us this last year that they haven't been able to do for the first 200 years. And because it worked, they're going to keep on using that, all right? And, you know, we never thought that would happen, did we? But it did. Somebody just said amen. Okay, so let's look here. Defeating discouragement. I'm just trying to, I try to work in reality, all right? Because that's the world we're living in. And that's some of the stuff we get afraid of. And we got to learn to be overcomers, not the victim all the time. And so we look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he says there's three things, and we're going to look at one of them here anyway tonight, two of them. Save another one for next week. But he says there's three of them in this passage that will help us to avoid becoming fearful. And the first one, he says here, is to eliminate doubts about God's word. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye have received the word of God, which ye have heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. So he's saying, folks, they received the word of God. They accepted the word of God. They took it in, you know, they bought it hook, line, and sinker, as one saying goes, okay? They didn't just pass it off as, well, that's Paul's opinion, you know, and Paul, everybody's got opinion. It's kind of like noses. And so that's his opinion, because you'll find people that talk about that as far as getting to heaven. You know, you share with them, you know, you need to trust Christ for salvation. Well, that's your opinion. See, I think if I'm just a good guy and I do the best I can, God's going to let me in. Well, that's your opinion. But here's what God says. This is not just one guy's opinion. This is the word of God. And he said they accepted it. They received it. But not everybody does. What do they say? I know what the word of God says, but, and that's what sinks them, okay? And that but is to go on to tell you why they're not going to believe or why they're not going to do what the word of God says. Because see, my situation's different. My whatever it is excuses me from having to go by what God's word says. You know, my situation's different. And so, you know, I get a pass. No, God doesn't have, you know, sometimes we talk about different types of justice. There's justice for us. And then there's a different set of rules for the people in Washington or somewhere else. They, you know, they tell you, you stay home, and then they go out to eat. Or you stay home from Times Square, and they go dance in Times Square. You know, and they'll get caught. But the thing is, he says they didn't receive it, again, as it was just another man. They received it because it was God's word. And again, it wasn't like a, you know, one of these, I suppose there's somebody's taking her place now. I'm this kind of out of the newspaper business, but Ann Landers, everybody had a problem, you write into Ann Landers, and Ann Landers would give you her answer for it, you know, and that was, you know, you know, here she's given all kinds of marital advice, and from what I understand, she's divorced, you know. So, you know, but the thing is, and it wasn't just an opinion. It wasn't a call-in program where everybody gives their opinion on something. No, this was God's word. And so he says, this is what we need to believe. We need to not doubt it, you know. Well, you know, because you get some that's, well, it was written by man. Well, yeah. You know, it wasn't all chiseled out of stone. It wasn't all like the Ten Commandments. But God guided these men, superintended them along the way. The Holy Spirit guided them. So what they wrote without error. So we can stake our life, our eternity on it. And as he talks about there in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says it's all scripture. You know, and I don't know if you've got one of those. I'm sure I do in my group of Bibles somewhere. But you got the red letter edition. You know, like you pay attention to the stuff in red because that's what Jesus said. And you can kind of ignore the other stuff. No, it's all given by God. All scripture. Not just a part of it. Not just the stuff that we like. You know, because some people have, oh, I like this psalm and I like that psalm. And that's good. But that's not the only thing that's in it. You know, it's kind of like there are certain things that we like. to eat. But do you want to eat that same thing day in and day out the rest of your life? Most of us don't. And so God wants us to, he says it's profitable. It's just what we need for doctrine. What's another word for doctrine? Some people get scared. Our church doesn't teach doctrine. Well, then you better get out of that church. Doctrine just means teaching. Only it does. See, when God talks, the scripture, when he talks about God, it isn't all in Genesis 1:1. It's scattered throughout the scriptures. Or he doesn't just talk about Jesus in Matthew and the Holy Spirit in Acts. No, this stuff's scattered throughout scripture. And so what doctrine is going to take, we're going to take the doctrine of God. We're going to look through all scripture and we're going to find what it says about God. And we're going to learn an awful lot about God as we pull it all together. Same thing about Christ, the Holy Spirit, sin, salvation. And so don't be afraid of the word doctrine. It's a good word. And so he says it's for reproof. Okay. sometimes we're reproofed. We're corrected. Our parents probably reproved us every once in a while. Corrected us. Because we weren't doing it quite right. For instruction. To help us not only to do know what not to do, but how to do it right instead. Okay? And sometimes that's a problem as Christians. Somebody gets saved, we don't disciple them like we ought to, and then, you know, we're kind of down on their case about one thing or another. We ought to just teach them the right way to live. Okay? Not just jump on them when they do something wrong. Same thing for our kids. Teach them the right way. He said, and then he says, like in 2 Timothy 3:17, God teaches us all this, gives us all the scripture. Why? That the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He's going to teach us everything that we need to know. So we're going to be fully equipped. We're going to have what we need. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to have all of our questions answered. And about a variety of different things. But everything that we need to know is in the Word of God. There may be things that we'd like to know. You know, what's the temperature going to be like when we get to heaven? What language are they going to speak? You know, other people are saying, well, are there going to be dogs and horses and hamsters and fish? are they going to, you know, there are all kinds of things that we might like to know, but if God says, if you really needed that, I'd have put it in here, okay? Some of you just trust me on it, okay? And sorry, I forgot to turn this thing down. I won't even look. It's probably something not good anyway. It's an alert. Okay, so he says, don't doubt God's word. If it tells you something, how do they used to say it? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Okay? There's no argument here, right? And, okay, you got an opinion, but that doesn't change what the scripture says. And so God says there's a heaven, believe it. God says there's a hell, better believe it. Okay? You know, you may not think so, but that won't change anything. I when somebody gives me that kind of line, I said, you know, there was a lot of people that believed that the earth was flat. If you went too far, you go over the edge. Well, they really were sincere in believing it, but you know what? They were sincerely wrong. And there's a lot of people that think they're going to get to heaven by the stuff that they do, the good works and all the rest of this stuff. They sincerely believe that. They've been told that. They believe it. But they're wrong, okay? And it's not because I said so, but because we got to go back to what does God say? That's the bottom line. Because everything else changes, right? We had a constitution. Had that constitution, nobody's messed with it since what? 1995. So we had it for 25 years. What did we do here a couple months ago? We amended it. We changed it. Okay? We're not amending God's word. There'll be people that don't like our national constitution. And there are a few amendments to it, or clarify things, or touch on things that maybe weren't covered under the initial one. Some of them would like to just throw the whole thing out. Okay? But they're going to do that to the word of God. They've tried to stomp out the word of God through the years, but it just came back stronger than ever. Well, the next thing, okay, so you're going to believe the word of God. Does that mean everybody's going to just come up and give you a big, well, okay. Nix the virus. Are they going to come up and give you a hug? They're going to love you because you believe the Bible? No. You're going to have some of your friends, some of your relatives are going to go, remember when they did that in school? You know, kind of wacko, all right? Yeah, I had a dear uncle of mine. It was a very strong believer, but the rest of his family thought he'd lost his mind. You know? I mean, they didn't grow. He got saved after they had all grown up and started their own families and everything else. And and so when he come along with this, it's like, where's this coming from? You know, you never used to think like this or talk like this. And so they just figured he went off the deep end somewhere. Quite a guy. But he says, expect some opposition. Anticipate it. And yet, what happens more often than not? We're surprised by it. We're thinking, why? I'm doing the right thing. Okay, just remember when you get in that mood. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm where God wants me to be. Why should this be happening to me? I mean, Paul could have been sitting in a Roman prison saying, why am I in a Roman prison? I was doing what God wanted me to do. I'm out there preaching the gospel. We're starting churches. We're encouraging Christians. We're doing all this good stuff. And pff, look at me now. Was there some upside to that? Remember, what are some benefits of Paul being in prison? Good chunk of the New Testament. If he was still out there making tents and doing all this stuff every day, we'd probably have a real skinny New Testament. Okay? God says, no, time out. Sometimes God gives us a time out. Sometimes it's he just saying, hit the pause button for a minute here. And we won't do that. And so we have to get sick or something else to stop for a little bit.
Even in that too, he's teaching us something. There is every trial is not always just something to put you into the ground, but
oh yeah,
you know, what are you teaching me here, Lord? And there's something that you're growing to. You know, the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, help me to have patience.
Yeah. Yeah. We all want patience, but we like to get there without the trials, don't we? Lord, can we just kind of bypass that? Can we detour around the trial and I can be patient on the other end of this thing? Well, he said, you know, it didn't. I'm thinking, okay, did everybody love Jesus and were excited to listen to what he had to say? No. Who gave him the most flack? The religious leaders, the Jewish people of his day that should have been recognizing him as the Messiah, instead of they're wanting to kick him off the cliff. If they oppose Jesus and what he believed and what he taught, why do we think we're going to get any better than that? Here we got the Apostle Paul. They didn't like him either, all right? And it was usually the Jewish people that, you know, following him around, stirring the people up, not always, but it's happened more than once, to get the people stirred up to run him out of town. You know, what Paul would do, would he come into a city, and the first place he'd start was the temple or the synagogue. And he'd preach there until they kicked him out, and then he'd start working on the Gentiles. But he gave them first shot at it. And yet he's opposed by it. Now, the pagans didn't like him either, all right? Let's look here. He says, anticipate opposition. Well, Look at verse 14. He says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Okay, so he's saying, he's talking to the Thessalonian believers, but he's saying, you're part of the church, but remember the guys back in Judah when this, where it all got started? And, you know, they're in Christ, and they suffered. People lost their jobs, they lost their homes, you know, they were in kind of desperate shape, and that's why they were taking up offerings and taking it back to Jerusalem to help out the people there that were being persecuted. They suffered. And who was it that was making life interesting for them? Their fellow Jews, the people in their own country. Okay, they didn't have to go to another country to get persecuted. It was their own people that was persecuting. And you may find that too. It's your own family that persecutes you. It's your own friends or other people that make life miserable for you. You know, and so don't be surprised at it. He says, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus." Okay, that's extreme opposition, isn't it? They killed him. We're going to silence this guy, and their own prophets. So he's giving a little rehearsal. He says, "Let's think of here for a minute. How receptive were the Jewish people to God's message?" And, well, they killed Jesus. They opposed the prophets. They persecuted us. And they pleased not God and are contrary to all men. You look through the Old Testament. How many prophets did they ignore or persecute or kill? You know? I mean, they weren't listening either. Back then, they're listening a whole lot better today. And so, the thing is, how are they going to know that we're Christians? Yeah, if we blend in with the world, we act like them, we talk like them, have the same interests that they have, you know, it doesn't mean you have to stand out like a sore thumb, you know. But if we're one of these closet Christians that we never say anything, and, you know, there's no evidence against us to show that we're a Christian, well, then, yeah, you probably aren't going to be opposed because you're one of them, you know. You at least appear to be one. And again, God says that we are to be unique. We're supposed to be a bit different. I didn't say weird. Doesn't mean, I keep picking on this poor guy, and he's probably reached more people for the Lord than I have. But, the guy that had the hearse with the big pieces of plywood on it and verses all over it, and drive around and megaphones, and I don't know. I'm thinking people look at that and say, now, maybe it's really God the guy. I didn't met the guy. I don't know. So I don't want to be, I'm not his judge and jury anyway. But the thing is, with the people that, do they just know that, well, every Sunday morning they back out of their driveway and they're kind of dressed up. I guess they're going to church. Is that the only identification that they have that we're Christians? You know, we don't have to be rude and obnoxious to people, but we ought to be communicating with them enough that they know that we're believers. We ought not to be ashamed of the fact that we're a follower of Christ. You know, Paul didn't go into town and try to be an undercover Christian and, try to do it on the sly. Well, he was open about his faith. And as a result of that, he got opposition. Like I said, you don't have to go looking for it. It will find you. If you stand for something, stand for the Word of God, you stand for your beliefs, Satan will find you and go to work on you, okay? And so you don't have to worry about that. But again, God, the Jewish people had rejected the messengers of God through the years. And many of them had rejected Paul. There were some that were believers. Some got saved through all this. But it was the unbelieving Jews that made life miserable for him in many cases. And wanted him, you remember, okay, this is how Paul ended up in prison another time. It was the accusations made against him. You remember, and he's left in jail, and where was he at? Remember, and he comes to Festus and these guys, and he's sharing his testimony with them, and it's the Jewish people that come down from Jerusalem and witness against him. And, you know, it's time and time again. It's probably some of the guys that he used to work with. Some of his fellow Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes that were coming to, you know, give false evidence against him to try to get rid of him. And so here we are. Well, our time's kind of gone, so maybe we'll stop here. But the believers in Thessalonica were encouraged not to doubt the word of God, to accept it, to believe it, to act on it. And that was going to help them not to be fearful. Let's just take a minute here. What are some verses that can encourage you or others from Scripture?
1 John 4:4, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Right.
Greater am I because the Holy Spirit lives within me.
Yeah, God's greater. He also tells us he will never leave us. He won't forsake us. People do, but God won't. Okay? And this is why we need to keep coming back to Scripture. It will give us that shot in the arm, what we need, a memory jog, to help us to not be defeated, not to be discouraged, not to be fearful. And just think about that again. You know, and Satan's giving you something new to worry about, something new to fear. Think of one of those, at least one of those 170 times that he mentions fear not ought to apply to this one. And I give you that little sheet. I mean, that's only 33. You still got another almost 140 that aren't on the sheet. And not all of them are applicable. But there were a lot of people fearing through Scripture. And followers of God, they still got fearful. And yet God wants us to have courage. Remember when we saw that here the other week? Be of good courage. He keeps telling that to Joshua because Joshua was fearful. Mark?
The other one too is Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the believer, and he shall deliver them through them all.
Yeah, little word, all. All right? God doesn't hang us out to dry, okay? Just to watch us squirm and wiggle, suffer, you know. He's going through it with us, okay? All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we would like to keep on going here tonight, but we'll save some of this for next week. We do pray you continue to encourage our hearts. Help us also to take some of these things that we've talked about here tonight and maybe have the opportunity to talk to somebody else that's fearful and help them to see that that's not the route God wants us to take. And we may get opposed at times, but help us to cling to the Word of God, to believe it, not doubt about it. Things aren't turning out quite the way that we hope. It's not God went off and left us. No, he's still there, and he's still on duty, able to help us out. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This is one of